being here. The title of our lesson this morning is The Day of Salvation. Obviously, that comes from our passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you, and now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" And as we look at this passage this morning, our lesson comes from the whole chapter of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. Do we consider ourselves, as Paul did, as a worker? Do we consider ourselves as somebody who pleads with those around us not to receive the grace of God in vain? And to think of that concept, to take the grace of God in vain for granted, or to not receive it. As we were talking this morning in Bible class, folks, I have loved ones and family members that have rejected the grace of God in their lives. And they've passed from this life to another life. And as terrible and tragic as that is in our lives, to know somebody never obeyed the gospel, they took the grace of God in vain, or basically rejected it. It is a blessing, and it is a joy, and it should bring peace and happiness to us to recognize God has said, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Now, obviously, this is referencing Old Testament, but this is applicable today. What's an acceptable time in your life, folks, to start following Jesus? What's an acceptable time in our lives to say no to sin? Something we've struggled with way too many times. What's an acceptable time to say, "I'm going to open God's holy word and read it every day of my life until Jesus comes again"? What's an acceptable time to tell somebody that that sinful behavior is offensive? You're taking the grace of God in vain. What's an acceptable time to say, "Jesus loves you no matter what"? Jesus' power and blood and grace is far bigger and far better than anything else the world can offer. When is an acceptable time to share the day of salvation with those you love? And to rejoice in it ourselves. To rejoice in it ourselves. I am so thankful that I am reminded by God daily that this is not all there is to life. I'm also so thankful and recognize that God reminds me what a beautiful earth this is. And I'm not alone in my walk and in my faith. And that each day that he's given me here is a day of salvation from my sins. And as workers together with him, just as Jesus is pleading with us to follow him, we need to be pleading with others to follow Jesus. So how many of us have ever attended a class how to plead with those people around us? Anybody? You have, DC, how to plead with those? Probably how to share God's word, how to reach out, how to show the love, how to be fishers of men, all the different things. So yes, in that sense, DC. But specifically, have we had a day of pleading? We've had a day of prayer, day of worship, day of work. I'm just throwing out the idea. Typically, somebody, when you're pleading for mercy, or you're pleading for justice, or you're pleading for forgiveness. But to plead with somebody, not to turn their back on the grace of God. We got to understand the grace of God and how precious it is. And it has to be valuable to us in order to do that. As I was listening to the preacher in Lafayette Church of Christ, I'll have to share this with you. He says, what's your A plan? Remember that, Lucas? See, Lucas, nah, maybe not. It struck me. What's your A plan? Plan A, plan B, plan C. Is plan C to talk to somebody about Jesus today, or is that plan A? Is today the salvation, the day of salvation, plan A in your life? Or is that plan B? Or is that plan C? Or is that on the back burner for today? Because today's a brickyard. The kingdom of heaven and God's grace and how great the day of salvation is should always be plan A in our lives. And you know what? The days that I have a bad day, I've made it plan B. Or plan C. Or even worse, plan D. Or even worse, it's not even in my plans for the day. My day's all about Don. But my day should be about Jesus. About a day of salvation. About glory and the things that God has given me and given us and blessed us with. And as we continue on in this passage, in verse 3, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and we and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Folks, there's only 7 verses, right? From 3 to 10, 7 verses. Is there a ton of information in there? Is there a ton of encouragement in there? Is there a ton of insight in there? There's not one of us in this building that isn't touched by something in God's Word in that passage that's applicable in our lives. And many things touch all of us. And multiple things are applicable in our lives. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Do I want to be known as a person that leads people in construction projects? Do I want to be known as a racer? Or do I want to be known as a minister of the kingdom of God? Child of the Most High God. Now, it's not wrong to be known as other things. But if that's my priority and that's my goal in life, Am I really hungering and searching for righteousness and then waiting for all things to be added unto me? Or am I trying to merit my own way, create my own identity without Christ? In all things we commend ourselves. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. Folks, we struggle with that. We struggle with that. There's people we love and we hope and we want to share the day of salvation with, but maybe we cuss them out. Or maybe we pointed out a sin in their life in a way that, you know what? It didn't open that door to their heart. Or maybe we had to share the truth of God with them and they rejected it. You're not blamed because of that. Folks, the best in the world, in the religious world, rejected Jesus. The best in the world today will reject us at times when we share with them God's holy word. It's tough. It's tough. How can you reject the day of salvation? How can you reject the greatest thing? Has anybody ever heard of somebody winning a lottery and giving a ticket back saying, nah, not today? Not me. No thanks. That may have happened, but it's not in the news. Folks, that's the same thing when you turn your back on the grace of God. I highlighted the end of this passage, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. How many of us go to the grocery store every week? Somebody in a household, okay? My lovely wife goes most of the time. There's occasionally I stop by and buy dinner. But how many of us go to the grocery store and buy stuff and we still got stuff in the cabinet at home? There's still stuff in the freezer at home. There's still stuff in the cupboard. Still stuff in the fridge. And sometimes that happens in our spiritual lives, folks. We keep wanting to go to the grocery store. We keep wanting something new. We want to try something different. We don't want what's there. We don't want what's in the cupboard. We don't want what's in the fridge. We don't want what's in the freezer. But yet, we possess all things in Christ. We're already rich. We've already been blessed beyond measure. Spiritually. Is it wrong to have stuff at home and still go buy some stuff to put in the fridge? No. But we need to make sure we don't take the grace of God in vain and for granted in our lives. The day of salvation. How precious it is. How precious it is to be able to know that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. Millions of people, every first day of the week, don't have a clue how precious that blood is. They don't know the example of Jesus. They don't know how great Jesus' teachings are. They don't know that he was the Son of God and that he really, really, really is the truth and the way and the life. We do. We possess all things. Sometimes we feel like we got nothing. Today's a bad day. If it rains, folks, it's going to be a bad day. If it's 100 degrees out, it's going to be a bad day. If it's cold and snowing, it's going to be a bad day. But yet we possess all things. We as children of God shouldn't be tossed to and fro by the weather, folks. Because we are children of the Most High God. We know who's in control of the weather. And we shouldn't be swayed by the weather. Our faith should be much stronger than that. Because we possess all things, and we need to be ministers. We need to help other people recognize that. making many rich. As poor, yet making many rich. Brother Tom, if you want to go around, hand out $100 bills this morning, we'd all appreciate it. I know that would deplete about half what you got in your wallet. I'm just jesting.
Short walk,
he says. But folks, we are blessed with something far beyond money. The day of salvation is here. The greatness of God's grace is far more important than the dollars in our pocket. And continuing on in 2 Corinthians, verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what according has Christ? Or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Obviously, I highlight the parts of the passage that touch me and are relevant to me, folks, in this passage of Scripture, and there's a multitude of them. But the one that I underline, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Brother Paul writes this to Christians in the early church, possibly Christians that had seen Jesus and been with Jesus. Paul says, we spoke openly to you, our heart is wide open. Folks, we haven't met behind the door. We don't have secret meetings. We're not having little meetings and little coups to see who we like and who we don't like. We're not going to change the rules to suit ourselves, because Christ has set all those things in front of us. Because today is the day of salvation. Folks, when you feel restricted in your life, please remember this passage. You are not restricted by the kingdom of God, by your brothers and sisters in Christ, by Jesus, by His holy word. You are restricted by your own affections, your own desires. So when you're angry and mad at somebody, look in the mirror. When you don't like something that's going on in the kingdom of heaven, look in the mirror. You don't like to look in the mirror? Open God's word. It'll reveal the truth in your heart if you're open to it. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what it talks about and what types of activities this transpires. Because obviously Jesus said, and even the apostles, you can't get away from the world. We live together with those people that aren't part of the kingdom of heaven. We work with them. We're neighbors with them. We want them to enjoy the day of salvation just as we do. So how does this apply? How does this apply? Well, you know what? Let's look back again. Our own affections. Our own affections. Gee whiz, it's okay if they do it. I guess we could do it too. I guess it's okay. That guy's a pretty good guy, and he wants me to go fishing with him on Sunday morning. I guess I could go and miss just one day. Jesus would be okay with that. I'll give you another one. I don't feel real good. I just don't feel like coming to worship service. I got sniffles and I don't feel good and I just don't feel like it. But when you get up Monday morning or Thursday morning and you got the sniffles and you don't feel good and you just don't feel like going to work, you go to work anyways. I'll give you an example in my own life. And it was revealing and self-revealing to me. I thought to myself, I don't miss too much work. I got to be pretty sick to miss work. I've probably missed more worship services in my lifetime than I have work. Not recently, obviously. But in my walk, I've made excuses. And it came down to the point I thought to myself, you know what, I'll go racing, something I want to do, not have to do like work. Or you know what, if somebody says, hey, I got tickets to the ball game. I got tickets to a play. I got tickets to a concert. I'm going to the race. I'm going racing. I went to the races and felt terrible when the minute I get in that car, forget about it. Good times had by all. That adrenaline kicks in. You do better. And that was a self-revealing time to myself to recognize, you know what? Unless I'm blowing chunks and got a fever so I'm contagious, that's why I don't go to work, that's why I wouldn't go racing. You know what? Those should be the same criteria why I'm not coming to worship service. I'm just sharing with you me. My heart is wide open. Have thine affections. Have thine affections controlled you more than your faith? Or are your affections driven by your faith? Is your heart wide open to the truth to help change you? Because it continually works on us. You know, I thought at one point in time, you know what, once I get to be a certain amount of faith, that doesn't bother me anymore. That's not a temptation anymore. I got it made. I'm on easy street. I'm always in the day of salvation. No, that's not the case, folks. Satan's going to come along, open up his toolbox, and pull something else out. Therefore, when Satan does that, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. I'm right here. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit say, I'm right here. Don't turn your back on me. Don't take the grace of God in vain. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Our last passage this morning is the very next verse in chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's easy for us for filthiness of the flesh, folks. We're pretty self-controlled on that. But the filthiness of the spirit, the stuff Satan tempts us with in our minds and in our hearts. Secret sin. I challenge us this week to proclaim each day a day of salvation over secret sin, over things in our heart that only God knows we struggle with. Because we all have them. That's the reality. But we need to go back and look at this verse. Do not touch it. Be separate. Say no to Satan when he tempts you in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. Recognize your affections that aren't proper, that are sinful, and turn from them. We all have them. We all will always have them. But we need to be able to have the power in our lives to say, Satan, get behind us. And God will receive us. And we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is always ready to receive us. God's grace is always powerful, ready to save us. They are always there, just for the asking, and that arm length and that hand length away. It's up to us to receive and accept the salvation and the time that he's appointed for us to serve him. If you have a need to respond to the gospel, to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you need prayers of the congregation, and you're struggling with anything and you want help, we offer this time this morning to come forward as we stand and sing a selected hymn.
I travel down.